10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able and turn and face the back of the sanctuary. We greet you this morning with the warm blessings of our Lord Jesus and his love and grace. Thanks for being here for our service today. We begin there on the front page of the bulletin this morning. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and say before God that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children, and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Would you join us now in singing our processional hymn this morning? It's hymn 388, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Oh,
Please be seated. You're here on a special day on this second Sunday of Christmas. We have not only a reception of membership this morning, but also a holy baptism. And we invite Deborah, if she'd come up now. If you haven't got to meet Deborah yet, please do. I always try to put you guys on the spot to shake hands afterwards with me. Great place to ask you, right? Right up in front of everybody. No, it's great to have Deborah here with us and her desire to join our church. We make public today as we hear her confession of faith from her own faith spoken herself. We begin with our rite. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God in this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? If so, say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If you do, say, yes, I renounce them.
Yes, I renounce.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? If so, say, yes, I believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes, I believe in God, Father, Holy Son, and Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? If so, say, I do by the grace of God. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you? If so, say, I will, but with the help of God.
I will.
Upon this, your confession, I acknowledge publicly that you are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation, Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church. Receive the Lord's Supper, participate with us in the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness and bringing this, your daughter, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling her both with heart to believe and with mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit, that we may continue steadfast in the one true faith and the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You can, you got to stay up here, actually. Yeah. Deborah is also a sponsor for Alexander's baptism today. So, Alexander, we're ready for you. Alexander, come stand right where Deborah's standing. And Deborah, stand over here, kind of beside him. There you go. Sorry. Begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Alex, how are you named?
Alexander Bishop Lees.
Okay. Alexander Bishop Lees, receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea. Yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Alexander according to your boundless mercy and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in him which has been inherited from Adam and which he himself has committed since would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them towards a faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be an example to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Deborah, is it your intention to serve Alexander as a sponsor in the Christian faith?
Yes.
God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work. With his grace, fulfill what you are unable to do. Amen. Hear the gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." He took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. We join together now in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Alexander, do you renounce the devil? If so, say yes, I renounce him.
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works? If so, say yes, I renounce them.
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways? Yes, I renounce
yes,
them.
I renounce them.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? If so, say yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. If so, say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Alexander, do you desire to be baptized? If so, say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Awesome. Okay, this is for you. So all I need you to do is just lean forward over the form. Alexander Bishop Leese, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised with him to new life in Christ. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit, and has forgiven all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Got the candle. Alexander, receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming before the judgment seat of Christ, where you may receive with joy to enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which shall have no end. Amen. In holy baptism, God the Father has made you a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brother in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. We invite the congregation to respond by saying, Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you have graciously preserved and enlarged your family and have granted Alexander the new birth and holy baptism and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you. Amen. We're all done. You can blow out the candle if you want to. And you keep that for you and also the cloth for you. And then before you go, we also have your certificate of holy baptism for you. Yes, you're welcome. Yeah, congratulations. The Lord's blessings. Thanks, Bob. This time we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able. We continue on page 3 with our Kyrie. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for today, the second Sunday of Christmas, comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3. Begin in the fourth verse of that chapter. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love toward your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemy, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandment as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord. We continue now with our epistle lesson from the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to please stand now as we sing together the Holy Gospel, or the Alleluia verse, and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Would you join us now in confessing our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have you ever found these words on your lips? It is what it is. Pretty common thing to hear, isn't it? Common thing to say. It is what it is. It's something we're saying when we're trying really hard to manage our expectations. My mic cut out there. To manage our expectations, we'll say, it is what it is. We live every day with expectations of all kinds. Things like children and marriage and career and health and finances and even how others should be acting or not. And expectations about God. These expectations quietly run in the background of our minds all the time, constantly shaping what we look for and where we think we're going to find it. And it's healthy, I think, to ask ourselves where our expectations are coming from, our assumptions. Why does it have to be that way? Is it just because you say it should? Is that why? When our expectations are met, notice this, we feel pretty safe, pretty comfortable, even some would say happy. We can act normal. But when our expectations are not met, oh, the happiness goes away. Then we feel confused, overwhelmed, anxious, angry maybe, lost, and betrayed. And it's nearly a universal sentiment for so many people that constantly are saying, I thought that would have turned out different. That situation, that set of circumstances. In our gospel reading this morning, we have a glorious example of that exact thing. Mary and Joseph, who had reasonable expectations of their 12-year-old son. Instead of having those expectations met, though, they find that it doesn't happen what they think should happen. And it's important to note in this text that Jesus is not sinning against his parents that day, but he does surprise them. Certainly. He acts here in this text out of a deeper loyalty. Out of a deeper loyalty within himself, which he expresses when he's confronted in verse 49. Why were you looking for me? He says. Did you not know I must be in my father's house? And I wouldn't call Mary and Joseph here, their expectations anyways, I wouldn't call them wrong. But I think we could say that they're just a little too small for who Jesus actually is. Joseph and Mary are just kind of, in some ways, very normal parents of the time, thinking that their priorities, parents hear this, will be Jesus's by default. We all get that if we're parents. And we can probably recall some times when we had to learn the same lesson that Mary and Joseph learned in this text, right? Which is, they may not live up to your exact expectations of them. In fact, they'll probably go further. There's a lesson to learn in that. Short tangent here. My grandpa used to say it when I was just a boy. He'd say, kids are people too. Our expectations of them often hurt us much more than they assist them. But it's okay, it takes time to learn this. Even Jesus' parents had to learn it. Verse 50 told us they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. But here's my question for us this morning. If Jesus' own parents had the wrong expectations of him, if they misread him, what about us? Huh? Why would we assume that we've never misread him? And that we don't have some false expectations of him ourselves? And might these false expectations that we have, even though we don't know we have them, be hurting us more than they're assisting him? Absolutely. Here's some common expectations that people have of Jesus. We expect Jesus to be a life improver for us. Like if Jesus is with me, things are always going to be a little easier, a little better, the way I want. I should have less troubles if I'm a Christian, right? That doesn't really fit. And like Joseph and Mary, we expect too little of our Lord. He's not just a God who's with us in the easy times, who works some kind of weird magic to make our problems go away. Instead, he's much more powerful than that. Strong enough, in fact, to stay with us, even in the hard things, even in the suffering, even in the pain, and bring us safely through. That's his promise. And here's another one. We expect him to be a crisis fixer, like a life mechanic that we only come see when we think something's broken down. We expect his help on demand. Instead, we have who Jesus really is, a Lord who calls us to repentance. faith and cross-bearing for God and neighbor. He didn't promise life would be easy. In fact, he told us in this life you will have trouble in John's gospel. But take heart, he said, for I've overcome the world. I think we all have to admit that we definitely have had some off-center expectations of Jesus too. This account from Luke 2 hits pretty close to home that way. Here's another one. We expect Jesus to tell us what we want to hear, confirm our cultural, political, or personal biases, instead of confronting us and reshaping us and completely adjusting our lives to be centered around him and not around the stuff that the world centers their lives around, which, guess what, if you don't know, is not going to last. It's just for a moment. We expect him to tell us how to get ourselves to heaven instead of the way that it actually works, which is he sees you and me, sinner. And he picks us up in his own arms, and he gathers us, and he carries us there, all in his strength. We expect that he'll ride around in our pocket like Jiminy Cricket does on Pinocchio. And yet, we say he's always with us. And it's true, it's his promise, but he's always with us the way he says he'll be with us, not the way we expect him to be there. He's there in his way, according to his promise. And I wonder what other expectations you have of him. So maybe this is my New Year's challenge for you. As you go about this week, stop and consider some of the things you're expecting of Jesus that maybe he's not showing up the way that you thought. And then study the scripture to see who he says he is rather than who it's just easy to think he should be. A lot of people get disappointed because of this false thinking. They say, well, Jesus didn't help me. He didn't do what I asked him to do. I put myself out there, Pastor, and I asked, I prayed, I really did. And you know what he did? I didn't see him do anything. Maybe he's not real. Or maybe we're the ones that need adjusted in understanding his true promises that come from his word and seeing who he promises to be and looking for him where he promises to be found. We always and often expect Jesus to just fit into our plans, to just be in the caravan of our lives, going where we want to go, just like Mary and Joseph expected of him that day. And guess what? He wasn't there. But instead, he was where he must be, where he promises to be, where he always has been, about the work of his Father. Remember what he was engaged in that day in the temple in our reading? Shocking people with his wisdom and with his answers at 12 years old. He's engaged in the word of God. It's who he is. John tells us in the gospel, chapter 1, that the word was with God and the word was God and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the word of God made flesh. Now we want to know where he is. We want to know where his help for you is, where his help for me is, where his power truly dwells on earth. Then ready to set your expectations aside and deal with Jesus on his terms instead of yours? I am. And God help me every day be when I wake up. He's in his Father's house, which among us he still is to this day, templed and tabernacled in the word of God and the word of the gospel. That Jesus came and was crucified for you. He died for you, that you might be saved from sin, death, and the devil. And that death on a cross comes to you for free. through the very word of God that's living and powerful and exactly what Hebrews says it is. Sharper than any two-edged sword that pierces us. When we hear what he's done for us, it always baffles me. The people that, it's like the gospel is so beautiful and free. It's free. Jesus is asking nothing. Only to save. Only to help. Only to offer real, lasting security and assurance and hope for the future. And we still have these people that say, you live forever? Nah. It's free. And you say no to it. Really? That's strange to me. I don't understand. All he does is come to offer you everything. Well, we got some weird expectations, don't we? His forgiveness is always going to be where he promises it to be. His love is always going to be where it promises it to be. It's not going to be, if Jesus loves me, he'll make my life look like I think it should. But that even when things aren't turning out like I planned, he'll be there with me where he's pledged his presence in word and sacrament, forgiving and teaching and forming us. So yeah, we all have expectations of Jesus. But the more we expect Jesus to think like us, the more we're going to be disappointed and lost and confused. But the more we'll let him be who he is, the more we'll be blessed by him. This was the experience of Mary, who treasured up all those things in her heart. Careful what we expect. I think it's good advice to end on here. Careful what we expect of anyone, but especially our Lord. And so this morning, God adjusts the phrase that's so often on our lips. It is what it is, we say. He adjusts that phrase to, he is who he is today. Or as God put it to Moses, I am that I am. So if our religious life is leaving us disappointed or angry or confused or feeling frustrated with God or even betrayed by God, and if that's led us down a road where we say, I don't know about this stuff, maybe we're the one that needs adjusted, because God is faithful to us. His forgiveness is real. His mercy is real. His love is ours. His promise will soon show itself to be true. Now that, my friends, is something worth expecting. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, to Solomon you granted wisdom and a discerning mind. Give to your people such wisdom from your word and a mind to discern truth from error, that we may know Jesus Christ and not depart from him amidst the winds of change and the doubts and challenges of our faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in Christ, your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Preserve your church by the preaching of the gospel of salvation and the seal of the promised Holy Spirit and baptism. Raise up among us faithful preachers to the praise of Christ's glory until we acquire the inheritance promised to us in him. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, your own Son became incarnate for us and grew from childhood into maturity filled with wisdom, and your favor was upon him. We pray that you'd grant to parents and children the wisdom and courage to know you as Savior and Redeemer, and to gather your bidding around your word and table. Help us form within our children the knowledge of what is right, good, according to your word, as well as the will to do it. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you set apart kings and governments to safeguard your people. Bless, we pray this morning that you bless our president, the Congress, our governor, our legislature, and all those who make and administer and judge our laws. Make them wise. Give them a discerning heart in pursuit of justice for the offender, peace between the nations. Protect the unborn and those least able to defend themselves. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, give patience and endurance to all who are sick or in any need. Lord, especially we name before you this morning Jim Holman, the family of Don Hermanson, and the family of Doug Messick, Dick Greitz, Wendy Vest, Brian Haas and family, Marcus and family, Teresa O'Haver, Cheryl O'Dowd, Carly Moore, Connie Hauser, Letha and Tom Hershey, Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howey, Jeff Autopolic, Frank and Audra Rendon, Larry Reinbarger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, bring healing and help, we pray, according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, as Blessed Mary treasured all things in her heart, grant to us to know what is worthy of our attention and what will pass away, that approaching the table of our Lord, we may be well prepared to receive with repentance and faith his flesh for the life of the world and his blood that cleanses us from all our sin. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we offer up this morning a special thanksgiving for Alexander's baptism, for Deborah's joining of our congregation. We ask that you bless them and lead them and protect them and guide them. And we thank you for the faith that you've given to them and all of us. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, dear Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We come to the time in our service for our tithes and our offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy some instrumental music from our organist. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in to our service and being a part of our service so far. We pray you have a blessed week, and the Lord goes and continues to bless you according to his will. and his strength this coming week. If you're gathered in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 8 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. This morning, our sacrament will be received in a line right in front of the font. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, we pray as the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK Walsenburg.